After a dominant 2-0 start, the Tennessee Volunteers are now back home. They're going to take on Kent State, Paige Dower alongside Jimmy Himes. Going to be a similar game, I think, to what we saw in week one, probably like we saw in week two, because this Tennessee team is about as complete that we've seen really since Josh Heupel took over.
They're really good. Their offense is outstanding. Their defense has been terrific. I thought the defense was actually pretty good and underrated a year ago. This defense is better. They just completely stifled North Carolina State's run game. Held them to, what, 1.4 yards a carry?
Yeah.
Grayson McCall, the quarterback, had 110 total yards of offense?
I think that makes sense, yeah, because they had 39 yards on the ground.
Yeah, and he had 106 total. Passing, 4 rushing, something like that. It's just amazing what they have done. And what impresses me so much about the defense is the depth on the defensive line.
Yep.
Now, I'm still – while I think the secondary's better, I still haven't seen them really get tested yet.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that remains to be seen. But, boy – and I'll call it the front six because Tennessee plays a nickel.
Yeah.
That front six has been terrific for Tennessee so far.
Yeah, I think so, especially when you kind of do look at that front six. Like you mentioned, they had 13 tackles for loss against NC State. That's where the 39 rushing yards for NC State comes. And I just think their ability to attack and win behind the line of scrimmage is something that this team really prides itself on. Tim Banks was talking earlier on Tuesday, and he says he doesn't really pay attention to the stats, so he didn't know they had 13 tackles for losses. He didn't know it's been 12 quarters since the defense has given up a touchdown. And I think that just goes to show that they are so productive on the field that you don't even really have to rely on the stats to tell you what your eyes are seeing.
Yeah, they're focused. They really are. And the thing about them is they're tackling well.
Yeah.
But on the rare occasion they miss a tackle, there are two or three guys right there to clean it up.
Yeah.
So the pursuit is very good. They're in the right positions. They are controlling the line of scrimmage. So I've really been impressed with what this defense can do. Now, can it do it against really good offensive lines, really good offenses down the road? That remains to be seen, but based on what I've seen so far, I'm pretty optimistic that they'll get it done.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be quite a challenge for Kent State coming into town where, you know, their quarterback, he's been in the system for a couple of years now, really only completes about 50%-ish of his passes, and their head coach says they want to come in here and run the football because you don't win championships by passing it. I don't know if that's a slight to Josh Heupel because everyone thinks he just runs or passes the ball, but he's quite balanced on offense. Where do you think Kent State will try to find some type of success on Saturday?
Well, this just in, Kent State is not going to win a championship running or passing.
Yeah.
Okay. just to clue them in
down,
a little bit.
This
all right.
Part, yeah.
Here's what I think they'll try to do. They've got two pretty good receivers. There's a guy that was a first-team All-MAC choice a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He led the MAC in yards per game. Now they got a receiver this year that's averaging 98 yards per game receiving. So.
Yeah.
Those are two of their better weapons. They're not going to run the football in Tennessee.
No.
And if they take too much time throwing the football, the quarterback's going to get sacked.
Mm-hmm.
I would think they'll do something similar to what Chattanooga did, and that's to roll him out a little bit, to throw quick hitches, slants, whatever, get the ball out of your hands, because they know that they're going to be outmanned up front. So,
yeah.
But I don't see Kent State having much success either way against Tennessee.
Yeah, whether it is the starters that are in or even some of the backup that you see, because obviously this team really does want to rotate. We've seen a ton of that up until this point. I guess having that depth, how much does that encourage you when, not to look past Kent State, but I guess just for the overall success of the program when you do have not only talent, but you have talent deep into the bench?
I think it's huge for Tennessee, and I've also thought about this. Tennessee runs an up-tempo offense, and it is designed to wear out the defenses, right?
Yeah.
When you can rotate 10 men up front on the defensive line, you might be wearing out the offensive line.
Yeah.
Because offensive lines typically don't substitute as much. So when you keep throwing a second unit that's as good as the first unit and they keep hammering away, I think you can wear out an opposing offensive line. Now, can you do that against Oklahoma? Can you do it against Alabama and Georgia down the road? I'm not sure. But the one thing about having great quality depth, not just depth, quality depth, they're going to have an injury or two, right?
Yeah.
So you've got enough people to pick up the slack in case that happens.
Is there anyone specifically on Tennessee's defense that's been standing out to you? I think, for me, I think we'll start to hear Arion Carter's name more as the season progresses. But one name that we haven't heard a ton of, it was Dominic Bailey, who had the strip sack and then the fumble recovery. I just think, you know, every guy has a chance to have a bright spot in the game. It was nice to see that for those guys. Is there someone for you that's standing out that you think will have more of an impact as they get more games under their belt?
Well, I don't know about more of an impact with games under the belt. I like Omar Norman Lott, yeah. the defensive tackle. I think he's a terrific player. He is their best inside rusher.
Yes.
He had about 6 sacks a year ago. And if you can push the pocket inside, that opens it up for James Pierce Jr. or Joshua Josephs to get sacks on the outside. So that's important. I think Amari Thomas is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tyree West is playing well. They've got a lot of guys playing. It's hard for me to – now, sometimes the numbers aren't necessarily showing up, like with James Pierce.
Yeah.
Part of it is he only played, what, 10 snaps against UTC.
Yes.
but I think they've got so many good players up front, it's going to be hard for any individual to rack up a lot of big stats. But I collectively, I really like what they're doing.
Yeah, even Tim Banks mentioned James Pierce not having a ton of sacks or really any at all mm-hmm. up until this point. But he says, you know, he's still really able to impact the game. Again, not mm-hmm. worried about the stats, doesn't know anything about the stats. So I think maybe finding ways to impact the game elsewhere. I know guys like James Pierce Jr. are wanting to have the sacks. They want to have stuff mm-hmm. on the stat sheet. Do you see maybe this is a game within the first couple of snaps? Because I'm sure James Pierce Jr., Keenan Peely, they're only going to get probably 12, 15 snaps again. Do you see them getting at the quarterback in this game?
Maybe, but I think Kent State's going to come out throwing it in a hurry.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be hard to get sacks. I think you'll see a lot of incompletions.
Yeah.
from Kent State.
Yeah.
I don't see them having much success there. And if they're smart, they're not going to have a quarterback take a 5-step drop and try to throw a 30-yard pass. So I don't know that I think they're going to be that active in this one. I actually think they've got a better chance against a team like Oklahoma that
okay.
probably has more confidence that we can protect our quarterback, we can block, and yes, we're going to throw it 20, 30 yards downfield. I think they'll have more of an opportunity in a game like that than against a Kent State, which I think is going to do what Chattanooga did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Throw it in a hurry, throw it quick, roll out, get rid of it, don't take a sack.
Yeah. When we look at the other side of the ball, it was funny. I saw Drew Beam. He had a tweet the other day. He's like, I love Nico Imaliava. I love all the early Heisman votes. But when are we going to start talking about Dylan Sampson? He's had his third straight game with over 100 yards on the ground, whether it's a shovel pass from Nico or he's mm-hmm. just they dump it off or he takes the handoff and gets to the end zone. It seems like he can do it all for Tennessee, even more so than what he did a year ago.
Josh Heupel has bragged about him. He's called him a complete running back.
Mm.
A year ago, he wasn't a complete running back. Why? Because he wasn't very good in pass protection.
Yeah.
Now he is. He's put on some weight. I thought a great play made against North Carolina State was they had a 3rd and 14. They threw him a shovel pass. I thought for sure they were going to tackle him
yes.
short of the game.
Yeah.
He got 17 yards first down. It led to a touchdown. That was a heck of a play on his part. He reminds several people, including myself, of a pretty good running back Tennessee had a few years ago named Alvin Kamara.
Oh, okay.
He is really good. He's shifty. He's running with some power now because
yep.
he's bigger, catches the ball out of the backfield. He's got good vision. I think he's a terrific back. He will be in the conversation for making All-SEC this year.
Oh, I think he definitely should be, because I think last year what he was known for best was not only his anticipation mm-hmm. but his quick twitch, being able to make a sharp cut and mm-hmm. get downhill. Now he does have that power. I really mm-hmm. want to know at the end of the season how many yards after the catch or you know even after contact that
right.
he has at that position. How important is his development to the success, you think, of Tennessee trying to be that balanced offense?
You can have a really good offense with Tennessee's system if you have a good back.
Yeah.
You can have an elite offense with an elite back. And I think Sampson's an elite back. He's a guy that's going to gain yards after contact. He's going to make people miss. He can run inside the tackles. He can go outside the tackles. Another thing I like about what Tennessee has done, you can be creative in the run game, and Tennessee has been. They have shown a lot of different looks with their blocking, whether it's a power block, whether it's trapping, whether it's pulling two people, utilizing a two tight end set.
Yeah.
There are a variety of things they've done in the run game that can keep an opponent off balance. I do have a little bit of a concern. Beyond Sampson, Deshaun Bishop, I don't know how good he is yet.
Yeah.
I think Cam Seldon can be really good. He didn't play against North Carolina State. So I wonder a little bit about their depth right now at running back.
Yeah.
But I think Sampson, he is so good, he can help make this offense go. Not to the point of Nico, but he can really make this offense go. And I think I'd predict before the year he'd have 1,200 yards. That might be too few.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If he continues these, like, 130-type yard games that he has. But, yeah, I mean, even Deshaun Bishop spoke earlier today, and he's still really trying to – get a lot from Dylan Sampson, learn as much as he can. Mm-hmm. And I think even him, he wants to be a bit more explosive. I mean, if we can recall back to Chattanooga where he was just wrapped up around the ankles and kind of stumbled 10 more yards and was short of the end zone. I think if he can get a couple more touches in this Kent State game, maybe he does kind of become that number two. Because, again, I don't know what the status is for Cam Seldon. Heupel says it's touch and go or he's good to go, but they'll evaluate as the week goes on. And then where's Peyton Lewis in the mix? I haven't really heard his name too much. And I'm not sure if he's fallen to the wayside or it's just the way the offense has been operating.
He barely got in the game against NC State. It was very late when he played. Mm-hmm. And then Keith's another one that played late. Bishop got all of those number two carries well into the fourth quarter. I do think Seldon – now, Josh Heupel was pretty interesting about who's available and who's not.
I know.
He at one point said Seldon was coming back, and now he's kind of, maybe.
We'll evaluate.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I do think Seldon will be back. I never heard what the injury was. But we'll see what happens with that. And if he is back, is he the number two guy? Is it going to be Bishop? But I like what I've seen out of Bishop so far, but I also have to temper that by understanding what the competition has been. And NC State was supposed to be a ranked team.
He's supposed to be.
I'm not really sure. No, they're not now, but I'm not really sure they are the quality of a top 25 team.
Yeah, I think there was just too much expected potential with, you know, Grace McCall transferring in, Jordan Waters transferring in, and you're not really finding anything through 3 weeks from that team. And if we kind of go back to Nico Imaliava, I think where he's going to exploit not only Kent State but other defenses as the season goes on is he is very patient in Josh Heupel's offense. I think he does a good job of trying to go through his progressions, whether it's trying to find Chris Brazel down the field or if he does need to dump it off to Dylan Sampson. Early on in his career, what's impressing you up until this point with just his, you know, fourth start under his belt?
One is accuracy. Secondly, his composure. The fact that he would throw two interceptions against NC State and come back. And I know that Josh Heupel bragged about that. His escapability. I like that, too. He is a better runner and a more willing runner than Joe Milton was. He's more like Hendon Hooker. I also love that play whenever they finally spread it out and they ran basically a quarterback draw over the left guard spot and he went 30-something yards for a touchdown. I think he's got all the tools to be a great quarterback. Now, one of the things that bothered Heupel, and I picked up on this too, Tennessee started six possessions on the plus end of the field against NC State and got only 20 points.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
No.
And so even though the offense scored 44, you had to pick six to help there to get to the 51. But they need to be more productive when they get the ball on the plus end of the field. And I think part of that was they weren't effective on first down on those particular possessions either.
No. And I think actually like having those tablets on the sideline will help a lot because, you know, even Brim McCoy and Ethan Davis, they were talking to Nico on the sidelines, you know, obviously the first possession, I think he was 0 of 2 on passing. So then you go to the sideline, you talk about it. Same thing with Squirrel White where they had the 45-yard completion. They're using the tablet, talking about it. And I think especially for a young quarterback like him, you'll see such like quicker in-game adjustments. It's no longer really waiting till halftime to make true adjustments. I think that is maybe what's allowed him to be aggressive, right? He has that first interception, and then the second play of the next possession, he's getting it to Squirrel White for 45 yards.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see if you're a head coach is to see, because he's going to have adversity.
Yeah.
He's going to have more adversity. How does he respond to that? Sometimes it takes a veteran quarterback to be able to do that. But I think Nico's demeanor and his calm, collective attitude, I think he can handle that fine, whether it's NC State or Alabama or Georgia or somebody else. I think he'll be able to deal with that. We've seen evidence of that.
Yes.
Now, he's going to have some more coming down the road, and we'll see what he does. But so far, when you watch what he did against the Wolfpack, I thought that was encouraging.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are making a lot of the ability to use the tight ends up until this point. I think all three of them now have a touchdown, two of them, against NC State. Do you think having that added wrinkle of being able to use the tight ends the way that they do, is that making as much of a difference in their potential that people are maybe suspecting, or is it kind of overrated?
No, I like it because you can go two tight ends and run the football effectively like you did against NC State. You can go three or four wides.
Mm-hmm.
And when they spread out with you, you can run a quarterback draw for a 31-yard touchdown. I think the flexibility of that offense, whether you go with two tight ends, one tight end, spread the field, all of those things are factors in making it difficult for defense to defend you. Mm-hmm. And in particular, if you've got good skilled people there, You know, you can run a whole lot of schemes, and if you guys can't catch it or get open or whatever, then it doesn't matter. But Tennessee's, I think, very talented at the skill spots. And when you bring more flexibility, more versatility to that offense, it just makes it harder to defend.
Yeah. Do you think through 2 weeks, especially after a then-ranked game, have they made a statement, or do you think that statement win only comes first by defeating Oklahoma?
I think they made a statement. You go to a neutral site and beat a team that was ranked.
Yes.
And you destroy them at the line of scrimmage. Your defense was phenomenal. Yeah, I think they made a heck of a statement. I think that was reflected in the polls.
Yes.
Because they're number 7.
Yeah.
In the AP poll.
Yeah, went from 15 to 7.
So that's a pretty significant jump. That is catching people's attention. Now, there are other statements to be made in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Against Alabama, against Georgia. There are statements you can make along the way. And the more statements you make, the better chance you got of being in the college football playoff, right?
Yeah.
So, but I do think that was a statement win against NC State. It showed that Tennessee has the potential to be a really good football team.
Yeah, and as the playoff conversations now really start to happen, because they're in a position to be in the playoff, what statement do they need to make next to give you confidence that they can continue this? Because I know fans all the time are waiting for that, you know, letdown that we've had a couple of seasons in a row where you're losing to teams you shouldn't. Does this team feel maybe more complete, more mature, more ready for the limelight than maybe in years past?
That remains to be seen.
Okay.
It might. We won't learn anything from Kent State.
No.
You know, I saw somebody set the line at 64 and a half points. Okay. That's.
Jeez. I think it's a 99% win in Tennessee's favor.
Well, I was looking at The Athletic, and they ranked the top 134 teams in the FBS. And guess who was 134? Kent State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you're not going to learn anything.
No.
Your next statement, your next challenge, your next contested game is going to be at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So that we'll really learn a lot more about Tennessee from that game.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Heupel makes his return
from
where he was unceremoniously fired after the 2014 season. And make no mistake, he remembers that. I asked him in the offseason, when's the last time you've been to Norman? He said, I'd say at least 10 years ago. Well,
what was 10 years ago?
Right. So, yeah. In other words, no love lost
in
that regard. Now, and most of that, I'm sure, was aimed at Bob Stoops, the guy that fired him. But still, I would bet you if you said, Coach Heupel, pick out the one game that you really want most to win this year, he'll never say it publicly, I would bet you it'd be Oklahoma.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just lastly, before we kind of put a bow on all of this, Gaston Moore, he had a few snaps against NC State. He'll definitely have more snaps. Maybe even Jake Merklinger plays against Kent State this weekend. How much do we need to see from Gaston Moore to, I don't know, kind of put to bed any uneasiness that we feel if Nico does get injured? We've seen that a couple of times, you know, the whole Hendon Hooker, Joe Milton thing. Do we need to see real meaningful snaps for Gaston Moore in this game to continue building confidence, or is that kind of
there won't be any meaningful snaps in this game?
Well, maybe so, yes. I mean, very fair, but meaningful as in earlier in the game.
There you go.
With other first-team players out there.
I don't think it matters with it. Gaston Moore's been around 5 years, right?
Right.
He's been
he knows
in this system.
Yes.
I said before the year, I thought Tennessee would be a bowl team with Gaston Moore at quarterback.
Yes, you did, yeah.
Don't think they're good enough to go out and beat the Alabamas, Oklahomas, and Georgias of the world, but you're good enough to beat the Kentuckys and the Vanderbilts and certainly Kent State and UTEP and some others. So
yeah.
I think he is a nice backup quarterback. Of course, nowadays it's hard to find good backup quarterbacks because of the transfer portal. I think he would do a nice job if he came in, but I don't have any illusions that he could go to Norman, Oklahoma, and beat the Sooners.
Okay, so what does Tennessee need to do against Kent State to not be Notre Dame from a week ago?
Just stay healthy.
Okay.
This is going to be – and one thing about Tennessee, why I don't think they'll have a letdown of any epic proportions like Notre Dame did, these guys love playing football.
Yes.
And they love to go out and see how many points they can score, and they love to go out and see how many times they can disrupt an offense. So they enjoy playing the game, and when you do that – Paige, I think there's a much less opportunity for you to suffer an upset along the way, to have a letdown.
Yeah.
And even if they have a letdown against Kent State, it's not going to matter too much because they're so outmanned. But I do think that the chance of them just laying an egg in a game like this are very remote because they enjoy playing the game so much.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank everyone for watching. Please like and subscribe. And Jimmy, you have a nice segment on the Rewind coming up on Thursday. Just a quick tease to maybe what people can anticipate from that interview.
We're going
to
interview Tommy Winton. He's a product of Catholic High School in Knoxville. Went to ETSU. He is now a preferred walk-on at the University of Tennessee, and I know it's a big thrill for him to be in that role, just to be able to wear that Tennessee uniform.
Absolutely. All right, well, that'll be Thursday later this week, so definitely make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on that interview. We'll be back Friday to talk more Tennessee football.